I said, you know, Mike, I just haven't gotten anything together. Everything I know is something I've done several times. And so he made a suggestion, one that I've done several times. But as I thought about it, it's a pretty good reminder song. I think maybe we should be reminded ever so often of the presence of God in this place. You know, I'm sure that many of you here are, or at least some of you here, are struggling with many, many different things that comes our way. But you know, our God is a God of love that is like no other love. He is a God of joy, and He can and will give you joy unspeakable and full of glory. He gives us hope when sometimes we feel that all hope is gone. There is no hope. And yet, if we seek His face, He gives us hope. He gives us the power to overcome. And another thing that I was reminded of, a song that we sing quite frequently, in fact, we did sing it last Sunday, is that He knows my name. He knows your name. You're not just some stranger to Him that's sitting out there in the pew waiting to hear a word. He knows your name. Would you seek His presence in a very personal way this morning? Acknowledge His presence in this place.
In this very room, there's quite enough love for one like me. And in this very room, there's quite enough joy for one like me. And there's quite enough hope and quite enough power to chase away any gloom. For Jesus, Lord Jesus, is in this very quite enough joy for all of us, and there's quite enough hope and quite enough power to chase away any gloom. For Jesus, Lord Jesus, is in this very room, and in this very room, there's quite enough love for all the world, and in this very room, there's quite enough joy for all the world, and there's quite enough hope and quite enough power to chase away any gloom. my name. He knows my every thought. He knows each tear that falls and hears me when I call.
Would you sing with me?
He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls and hears me when I call.
In this very room this morning, seek His presence.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. I got to move this back. So it's like a cow looking at a new gate. So. You know, just. 33 years ago, Johnny and I came to Cottonwood. And for about 15 years, maybe a little more than that, we had two services. So we had Sunday morning and Sunday night. And then when we became kind of a regional place, it was just really hard for folks to get back. So we started doing home fellowships and having one service. And then we went to two services. And so I was just kind of trying to put some numbers to it, but we have shared the platform, Fannie and I, over the last 33 years, probably about 3,000 times. You know, we have shared the platform for about 3,000 times. And I can't tell you just how much of a blessing that's been. I think about those days, and I think about these days, and you know, when you think about a woman that sang at over 1,600 funerals from 1967 when she started counting, so it's probably more like 20-something hundred, and just to think of the service that she gave to Cottonwood and to the community and to her family. And, you know, I also think for all those many, many thousands of times her son Stephen was playing for her. What a heritage. Thinking about the decades of singing at the new, you know, the Golden Age Retirement Center. Decades for Sundays, playing, singing, sharing that platform, sharing that pulpit with her for a few years. And so I just want you to know, I've been touched by her. And you've been touched by her singing and Stephen's playing. Because, Stephen, you were there when she was singing on that very Sunday when she encouraged us to remember the presence of God. And, you know, through the years, I think about the times when, and especially in those early years when there was just 25 people meeting, maybe 30 sometimes when it was a good Sunday or a big Sunday, you know. And yet the faithfulness, week after week, month after month, year after year, with this great desire for God to do something significant on this property and in this place and in your lives, and to every soul that ever came through, to see something significant happen. I want to tell you something. Nothing in God's economy happens significantly unless God is there. Nothing. unless God is in it, unless God is there, unless God is present. And what she said in that place, and said it many times, when you kind of look at her life through the whole of her life, this long walk, this long journey of obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ, the presence of God was so important to her. The presence of God was so important that how many of us have experienced the presence of God in this very room and in that very room where she was singing and in that very chapel? How many of us have experienced the presence of God? It was a Palm Sunday when Jesus made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, and they put him on a donkey, and they walked him in through, and they put their coats down, and Jesus walked over those coats, and all of a sudden people start saying, "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord." Praise God. They were worshiping this great God. Why? Because of the presence of God. The presence of Jesus on that road into Jerusalem and in this place 2,000 years later, in your lives 2,000 years later. The presence of God is so important. It's so important. You know, Luke 19 speaks of that. You don't have to turn there. I'm just going to read just a couple of verses, because when he's approaching Jerusalem and they're singing, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest," there's Pharisees saying, "Rebuke those words. Rebuke those words." And Jesus said, if they don't cry out, the stones will. If they don't cry out, the stones that God created will cry out. If you become silent, God's saying, listen, that this presence of God is still going to go forth. And so when he approached Jerusalem, he saw the city and he wept over it, saying, "If you had known in this day, even you, the things which make for peace, but now they have been hidden from your eyes. Days will come upon you when your enemies will throw up a barricade against you and surround you and hem you in on every side, and they will level you to the ground and your children within you, and they will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not recognize the time of your visitation." The presence of God is about the visitation of God in your life. If you came to Christ at 8, it's because God visited you. And you recognized the visitation. You recognized his work. You recognized his calling. You recognized the presence of Almighty God. But there are many people in this life who do not recognize the presence of God. For many of us in this room who've experienced the presence of God, there have been many who come through these days, through these doors, through this property, and didn't get what you got. They walked away without realizing there was a visitation of God. And what I love about the presence of God, the visitation is constantly available to you and to me. The presence of God in Christ is available to you and me. What's wonderful about the corporate setting, what's wonderful about us coming together, is we get to experience the presence of God together. In so many years, we got to experience that with Fanny, with praise team, because the presence of God is so important to us. The presence of God is so important to God. And I guess the question that I want to ask today is, are you understanding and recognizing your visitations? When God comes in your heartache, when God comes in your failure, when God comes to address your sin, do you recognize that it's God who's present and He's doing something to minister, to manifest the life of God in your life? And if you don't respond to that presence, if you don't respond to the invitation of Almighty God, you will walk away every time missing what God has for you. Every time. And I'm a firm believer that when we gather every Sunday morning, and when you wake up in the morning and you get your Bible open, or even if your Bible is closed, there's a God who wants to make Himself known. He wants to visit you. And I can't tell you how grateful I am for a woman who wanted that for her life, for her children and family, for her marriage, for her church that she was in since she was born. She wanted the presence of God. And my exhortation to you as we open Scripture this morning and spend a little time in what the presence of God does, I'm asking you, I'm begging you, don't miss another opportunity. Don't miss another visitation from God. Because He is in this very room and He does know your name. You are known by God. He is in this very room, and He knows your name. He knows your problem. He knows your struggle. It's why He entered the world. It's the whole point of the cross. Jesus is heading into Jerusalem to die. He's heading into Jerusalem because the presence of God in the lives of people are so important to Him. And we know that sin separates us from the presence of God. Is that right? It separates us from the presence of God because God is this holy God, holy, blameless. And when man fell in the garden, when Adam and Eve fell, and they knew the perfection of God, they knew the presence of God, they'd walk with God in the coolness of the day, all of a sudden that was ripped from their heart and their lives. But it was also ripped from the heart of God. He created you and me for fellowship, and fellowship is God's presence in your life. To be known, to be believed, and let me tell you, just as a touchy-feeling guy, to be felt. To be felt. I believe that with all my heart. That every time you breathe, every time you walk, every time you talk, every time you speak, every time you respond, you have this opportunity to experience the presence, the living God. And Stephen, your mom knew that. Jimmy, Tommy, your aunt knew that. She knew it and wanted it and desired it, and she wanted it for you. The whole point of the cross, the whole point of Jesus dying on the cross is to make a way so that you might experience the presence of life, the presence of God, the rest of your life. Watch this, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, and then on into eternity. I go to prepare a place for you. I want you with me. I love you that much that I don't want to spend eternity without you. So I'll die for you. I'll die in your place. You know, when Jesus was telling the disciples in John 16, He's saying to the disciples, listen, I'm about to go away. I'm going back to the Father. I'm going away. And the disciples had this incredible sorrow. I mean, it was an incredible sorrow that God was leaving them. And it's something that they could not bear to put their brain around, their heart around, their arms around. They couldn't bear it for Jesus to go away. And Jesus said in that same very passage, in John 16, verse 7, hopefully on the screen here, yeah, I tell you the truth. It's to your advantage that I go away. For if I don't go away, the Helper, the Spirit of the living God, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you. God the Father, who created you, God, the Son who died for you and is at the right hand of God on the throne, ruling and reigning, and the Holy Spirit of the living God who comes into your life to be with you forever. Forever. You know, it's interesting. You've heard this before if you've been here any time. But the day that we felt that God asked us to stay at Cottonwood, there were about 30 people meeting. It was a couple of years into our tenure here. I'll never forget the day that the five deacons, we were the deacons, but I know it's their wives too, okay, but those are the deacons, invited us to come pastor. Went home, came back, thought, I can do this for 18 months. I'm finished in seminary in 18 months. And so I sat down with them and said, yeah, we'd love to come, but just know that I'm graduating from seminary in 18 months and we're heading back to the city. But Alexander, deacon says, well, you know, that's okay because that's about how long our pastors stay. Several months later, after a visitation from God, God said, stay. And I don't know if it was in that moment, I don't know when this was, but I asked God to do two things. And I came out of a very successful youth ministry with John Ann and I, and ministering to junior high kids and high school kids, baptizing hundreds of kids, seeing kids come to the Lord. But you know, successful ministry ultimately will never satisfy you. Does a successful career ultimately satisfy you? Does the bank account and retirement and what you've got, does that ultimately satisfy you? No. All the awards that you might have gotten in this life, does that ultimately satisfy you? No. It's the presence of God that satisfies. And I ask God, I say, God, I know that seeing successful ministry doesn't satisfy. Because I'm going to tell you, I thought we would pastor 30 people the rest of our lives. And it was okay. Because I asked God to satisfy us with His presence. And you know, God's been so faithful to do that. And Fanny's been a part, an integral part of that for this pastor. Satisfy us with your presence. And then I asked God to do another thing. I said, God, if I'm going to spend the rest of my life with 30 people, you got to make them love one another because I don't want to spend the rest of my life with 30 Baptists who don't love one another. Amen. Said every Baptist pastor who ever lived. But you know, God's been so faithful. He's been so faithful to see that happen. This presence of God is all about what God wants. It's about sending the Spirit of God into your life to be with you forever. Every moment of the day. But how many times do we get distracted from the presence of God? The God who is always here. How many times do we get distracted during the day and start out walking the day in a self-directed way instead of a God-directed way? When the presence of God is absolutely, totally there and available for you to understand, to hear, to see, to touch, to taste, to handle. It's available. And so important is it that Christ died for it. Christ died on the cross so that you might have the Spirit, His Spirit, the Spirit of the living God in your life. And it's interesting because when Jesus goes to the cross, he gives us seven words, two of which I want to look at just real briefly. The first is Luke chapter 23. Just go to Luke chapter 23 if you would. How does God make a way for His presence in your life? The personal, vibrant relationship that God wants to have with you. Daily. Every day. Every moment. Where life is exciting because God speaks to you and you hear and you speak to Him and He hears you. How does that happen? Well, the only way it can happen is by Him forgiving you and taking care of the sin in your life. And that's what He did 2,000 years ago. The cross made a way. He died in your place. The cross and the resurrection and then the indwelling of the Spirit of the living God made a way for you to be forgiven and to walk in His presence. Chapter 23, Jesus is hanging on the cross. And in verse 33, it says, when they came to the place called the skull, there they crucified Him, and the criminals, the thieves, one on the right and the other on the left. And Jesus was saying, it's interesting, it's in a present tense, He's just saying this. It's not just one time. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Father, forgive them. They do not know what they're doing. If Jesus isn't forgiving, if God is not forgiving you, there is no way to walk in the presence of God. He has to deal with the sin. He has to deal with your sin issue. The psalmist even said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear. Iniquity, sin, the junk of this world will separate you from the presence of God. In a vibrant relationship with the Lord. And the presence of God is so important that He spilt His blood for it. And while He's spilling His blood, He's forgiving you. And He's forgiving me. And I want to just say this. We talked about this a few weeks ago when we moved from hurt feelings to bitterness. Forgiveness is the only way that you and I will walk in fellowship with together and with one another in our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Well, does that mean I got to forgive them when they know what they're doing? Absolutely. We are a forgiving people because our great God forgave you and me. You know, I think about the second response, the second word to the Lord, and it's to the thief on the cross. And I look at this. Notice verse 39. One of the criminals who were hanged there was hurling abuse at Him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. Save yourself and us." But the other answered in rebuking Him, said, Do you not even fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed are suffering justly. We're receiving what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. And he was saying, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. You know, Jesus says, I'll do something better than that. I'll do something better than remembering you. Truly, I say to you today, watch, you shall be with me in paradise. And the crowd explodes, and the cheers are deafening. That's what our God did for you and me. He forgave you and gave witness to you of that forgiveness so that today, if you die, today you are in heaven, you are in paradise with Him, our great God. Amen. Today you'll be with me. Today you'll be with me because this is so important. I want you to be with me forever. But what if our day is not today? What if our day is still 30 years out? 40 years out? What if it's a week out? We don't know that. But to be with Jesus means that I just don't cross over the line. I cross over Jordan and whew, I'm with Him. No, you crossed your Jordan when you became His and received Him into His life, your life, and the Spirit of the living God came upon you. Because you get to experience God in this life. And if you're not experiencing God in the presence in this life, maybe you need to examine yourself, examine your heart, examine even if you're in the faith. Because this is the normal Christian life. Where I hear Him, where I see Him, where I see Him work, where I visit with Him, where I talk with Him. And it's this great promise that Jesus promised, or that the Scriptures promised from the very beginning. You know, turn to Matthew chapter 1, if you would. I realize that Matthew 1 is a Christmas message, or a Christmas passage. Matthew chapter 1, Mary is pregnant with Jesus. She's not married. She's betrothed to Joseph. The Scripture says that Joseph finds out that she's pregnant, and he's a righteous man. He's not wanting to disgrace her, but so he planned to send her away secretly. And while he's considering this, in verse 20, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus," which means salvation, "for he will save his people from their sins." And all this took place to fulfill that which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which translated means "God with us." Wow. God with us. God with you. God with your marriage. God in your relationships. God in your family. God with our church. The presence of God. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. In this very room. In your very home, as you're watching this. Because of what He did at the cross when He forgave you and then saved you, like the thief on the cross. To give you this presence right now, right here. I love this passage. I love this. This has been a part of my life. It's been a part of our teaching. It's been a part of the very just center of my soul, that God is with me to save me. God is with you to deliver you. You want to talk about the presence of God and being in this very room? He's here to save you from your junk, from your sins, from your lifestyle of darkness. Notice just really quick, just on the screen, or if you got the notes, I'm just going to go by this really, really quickly, okay? God with you to deliver you. He's present to deliver you from all your sins. Romans 11:26, the deliverer will come from Zion, and He will remove ungodliness from Jacob. He will remove the ungodliness from your life. He will deal with your sin. He will carry your sin away. 1 Peter 2:24, He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by His wounds you were healed. I'm with you to deliver you from your sin, from your ungodliness. I bore that sin on the cross 2,000 years ago. And today, I'm present to deliver you from the strongholds of your life. I've come to deliver you from that lust. I've come to deliver you from that anger. I've come to deliver you from that greed. I've come to deliver you from that worry. I've come to deliver you from that anxiety, that stress, that stuff we walk in all the time with the propensity to keep on walking in it. I am with you to get rid of that from your life. That's why I'm with you. That's why I'm present. Now, let me ask you a question. Does walking in sin and not dealing with your sin, does that really work for you? Does that really work for us? No. That's why he came. That's why he's in this very room. That's why he knows your name. So the stuff that we've been doing without Christ will stop. And the consequences will stop. Because his Holy Spirit is with you to empower you to walk away from that. To walk away from that temptation. To walk out of that sin. That's why he's here. He is here to deliver us. And I love this because it's pre and it's post. It's pre when you're in the temptation that he comes to deliver you. And then if you fall, and when you fall, or if you move to something and all of a sudden you find yourself and it's post sin, I'm going to tell you, he comes to deliver you from that too. No sin, no amount of sin is too big for God to deliver me and you from. That's why he's here. He's present to deliver you. Listen, the Bible says that without faith, it's impossible to please him. For the one who comes from God must know who he is, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I ask the question, would God birth within you a faith today, a faith to believe so much in the presence of God in your life that he comes, his presence is with you, he is with you to deliver you from whatever you're walking in today? That's my prayer, that this is done by faith, by a belief. Some of you are walking in worry and fear today over the future. I want to tell you, he holds the future. He's already there. He's already there to deliver you. He's already there to deliver you. If he's here to deliver you now, he's here to deliver you then. Would you believe that today? It may be a job issue, a financial issue. It may be even a failure issue. But I want to tell you, he's there already, ready to deliver you. Because he's here to do that today. That's why he's here. That's why he's in your life. And that matter of fact, when he does that, all of a sudden you have a message, a life message, to bring the presence of God to those other thieves on the cross, to those other folks where we were at one time, when we were following after our own lusts and after our own self and after our own life. God is with you to deliver you. He's present to deliver you from every evil deed. 2 Timothy 4:18, the Lord will deliver me from every evil deed and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Do you know, when you look at Paul and you look at his life and every evil deed spoken on him, every evil deed done to him, when you think about being beaten 5 times with a cat of 9 tails, when you think about being stoned, when you think about being beaten with rods, beaten, unrecognizable, you say, well, he didn't deliver him from the first one and the fifth one. No, let me tell you what he delivered him from. He delivered him from a lifestyle of anger and bitterness over those beatings. Delivered him from it. Listen, all of us have had evil things done to us. All of us have evil things said to us. All of us have been in seasons of our life that were hard, that were difficult. But he promises to deliver you from every one of them. What a great God. Present to deliver us from our sin, but also to deliver us from the sin committed against us. That's how great God is. His presence knows no bounds. There's no limits to it. There's no limits to his work. When he's in it, and when he's in you, everything changes. The miracles can flow in your life because he's present. I mean, he's present to deliver you from your sin, from every evil deed, present to deliver you from darkness. Colossians 1:13, he delivered us from the domain of darkness, transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He's present to deliver you from all your fears. Psalm 34:4, I sought the Lord and he answered me and he delivered me from all my fears. He's present to deliver you from the evil one. We pray this, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. He's present to deliver you from all your distresses. No, it's interesting. You really need to see this. Psalm 107. Notice what he did. Psalm 107. And notice all the things that God delivered to them, delivered the children of God from when they cried out to him. And there's so many of them in here, I'm just going to have to skip through some things, okay? But I want you to look at verse 4. Psalm 107, verse 4. They wandered in the wilderness, in a desert region. They didn't find a way to an inhabited city. They were hungry and thirsty, and their soul fainted within them. Verse 6. And then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of all their distresses. Are you distressed today? Is there something happening at home today that's hard, that's difficult? Is there something happening in your relationships? Maybe your important relationship at home, your wife, your spouse, your husband. Maybe there's something happening with your kids. Maybe there's something happening with your grandkids. I don't know. Maybe there's something happening at your work, but it's distressing you. I am with you to deliver you from all your distresses. When you're fainting, when you're hungry, when you're thirsty, cry out to me in your trouble and I'll deliver you out of them all. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm here. Look at verse 10. There were those who dwelt in darkness, in the shadow of death, prisoners in misery and chains. Why? Because they rebelled against the words of God, and they spurned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, he humbled their heart with labor, and they stumbled, and there was none to help. But then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he served them out of their distresses. He brought them out of the darkness, the shadow of death, and broke their bands apart. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and his wonders to the sons of men, for he shattered gates of bronze and cut bars of iron asunder. Look at verse 17. They were fools because of their rebellious ways, and because of their iniquities were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all kinds of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. And then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word. He healed them. He delivered them from their destructions. Let us give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness. Let them also offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of his works, troubles, anxieties, distresses, anguish, wandering, imprisoned, darkness. In the midst of the storm, he will come and deliver you out of it all. Will you believe that today? Will you believe the incredible presence of God? It is God. It is God who is with you to deliver you. And then not only will he deliver you, but it's God with you to lead you. You know, we've got a few seconds. Or minutes. Go to Exodus 33. Exodus 33. You know, the psalmist in 107 is talking about how he delivered the children of Israel in their wanderings, in their distresses. And one of the things that Moses asked God to do in this, that God would reveal his presence. Verse 12. 33. Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, bring up these people, but you yourself has not let me know whom you will send with me. Moreover, you have said, I've known you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. Now, therefore, I pray, if I found favor in your sight, let me know your ways, that I may know you, that I may find favor in your sight. Consider, too, that this nation is your people." And God says, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." And he said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not lead us up from here. For how then can it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not by your going with us, so that we, I and your people, may be distinguished from all the other people who are upon the face of the earth?" And the Lord said to Moses, "I'll do this thing of which you've spoken, because you have found grace in my sight, and I've known you by name." I want you to bow with me in prayer. Would you do that? I am with you to deliver you, but I'm with you. My presence is with you to give you rest. You know what rest is? Rest is peace. It's shalom. Rest is to be free from anxiety, worry, fear. To be free from division. To be free from chaos. My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. And this, my friend, this, beloved, will distinguish you from the rest of the world. His presence to deliver you. His presence to lead you. His presence to distinguish you. This is how great your God is. Our God. And for 60-something years, our worship leader proclaimed this. In this very room is the presence of God. It's the love of God. And it's for you, and it's for your neighbor, and it's for your whole world. The presence of God for everyone you meet. That everyone who touches your life, everyone who comes up against your life, and it may be touched and it just may be brushed. And you might journey with someone for a long time. But today, you will be with me. Today, you will be with me. What a promise. The promise of God that will drive away the chaos, drive away the worry, the fear, the anger, the unforgiveness, the lust, you just name it. I am with you to deliver you. I am with you to lead you. I am with you to distinguish you. You may be here today and you've been struggling with distresses, and you need to make something right with God. Because I want to tell you this. Fanny left this world with an ordered life. She had her life all in order. And I want to say two things about two words on the cross. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Your life is in order when you have forgiven everybody. If you've not forgiven everybody, your life is not in order. Who do you need to forgive today? If you're not walking in the forgiveness of God and believe that God has forgiven you for everything, your life is not in order. God wants to order your life by knowing He's forgiven you from everything, and that you yourself is forgiving everyone. That's how we get our life in order. It's part of the blood. It's part of the presence of God. And your life is in order when that kind of life is giving witness to people like the thieves on the cross. God is with us to deliver us. God is with us to lead us. God is with us to distinguish us. I love Exodus 33:14. I love it. New life verse. My presence will go with you, and I'll give you rest. What's God saying to you this morning? We're going to have a time of invitation. And in this invitation is to deal with or to address or to speak to anything that God spoke to you this morning. And you know, it may not be anything that was spoken in here. It may have been something that you were listening on the way. Or it may be something that you heard in Sunday school. Or something God gave you in a moment of worship. Or God spoke to you when you read on in your Bible today. Because that specific passage was speaking to you. I'm up front to receive you and to give you the opportunity to pray, but I'm just to tell you, we're going to open this altar up for you. This invitation is for you. An invitation so that you not miss the visitation. He's in this very room, and he knows your name. If you don't hear anything else, hear that today. Let's stand together. Father, I pray that your Spirit would come, you'd visit us in these moments, and that your Holy Spirit would lead us. Lead us to the altar. Lead us to make it right. Maybe you're here today and you need to get to this altar and you need to grab somebody's hand and take you and go, let them go with you, whatever. Maybe you just need to sit there, right where you're at. Make that seat an altar. My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. If you need rest today, you get to this altar. You get to somebody to pray for you. Find this rest. Come, Holy Spirit, visit us. May we not miss the visitation. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so, so kind to me. Holy, overwhelming, never-ending, restless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it. So kind to me.
There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow.
Presence will go with you and I will give you rest. What a great promise. I'll distinguish you from the rest of the world. I pray that the commitment of God in your life would be to Him and Him alone, to His presence in your life. There's nothing like it. If you need help with this, if you need someone to talk to this week, our numbers, staff's numbers, are in the fold. You call us. Call us. We want to walk you to rest. We want to walk you to this distinguished life. We want to be a part of God's presence in your life that will deliver you from anything we talked about today. In this very room is the presence of God, and He knows your name. I want to bless you here in a second, but I want to invite you back at 3 o'clock for a great, great memorial service to our beloved. The Tarleton State Choir will be here. We'll be singing a number of songs that she loved. And Stephen has planned out a wonderful tribute to his mom. A wonderful tribute to our friend. And I hope that you'll come and be a part of that. It'll be unlike any funeral service, memorial service that you've ever been a part of. I promise you that. So I hope you'll come back and be a part of that. All right? I'm going to bless you. If you raise your hand. Okay. Lord, bless you, keep you. Lord, make His face shine upon you. Lord, be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance towards you and give you peace right now, right here. Peace in your life, peace so that God removes the distresses, removes the anxiety, removes that junk, so that the presence of God may truly rest upon you in new and fresh ways. The presence of God, may He be upon you to deliver you from anything today. May His presence give you rest, and may this presence and blessing distinguish you from the rest of the world. Amen and amen. God bless. Thank you.